بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله. Tonight is the 20th of December in the year 2020. And alhamdulillah, we've completed the second week, the 14th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the venerable chief of Al-Khazraj, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu. So the next section is entitled, The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visits when he falls ill. Our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love for this noble companion radiyallahu can also be gauged from a famous visit of his to him when he had fallen ill. In Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Mishkat, in the chapter on weeping over the dead, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, he said, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu, he once complained of illness and he was in pain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon came to visit him, accompanied by Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala. As he entered sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he found Sa'ad unconscious, I motionless. Upon this he asked, has he passed away? They responded, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is not so, I though it looks like this. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon began to weep, I out of love for Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu. When the people saw him weeping, they also followed suit. He thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish for the tears that the eye sheds or the grief of the heart, but he punishes for this, pointing to his tongue, or he may still show mercy, and the dead is punished due to his family's weeping over him. So this is the full report. So let's look at these. So first of all, where is it recorded? Bukhari and Muslim. So it definitely happened. Sa'ad ibn Ubadah is very ill. When a person's unconscious, he's very ill. So this shows whatever illness it was, we don't know. But he's unconscious. So who has now paid a visit? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two of the ten promised paradise. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, and the barnyard of Fiqh, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So imagine, you know, what great personalities were visiting. As the Prophet entered, he saw him unconscious and he was absolutely still, meaning it looked like he was dead. So the Prophet said, has he passed away? He goes, no, but it looks like this. And then look how touching. The Prophet started to weep. Now why was he weeping? Because he was, you know, he had great love and concern for the great Sa'ad radiyallahu. So when the people saw him weeping, they got a bit confused because at that time they were still learning the rules and regulations. So the Prophet ﷺ said, listen carefully. You are not punished for the tears that comes out of your eyes or the grief of the heart. But he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, will punish for this. So if you start talking, oh, what a great loss, oh, what a great calamity, because that is what you will be punished for. But then look what the Prophet ﷺ said. Or he may still show mercy, meaning he doesn't have to punish you. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, and the dead is punished due to his family's weeping over him. So what does that mean? The dead is punished due to his family's weeping over him. So one view of the companions is that if the people weep over the dead, the family, it hurts the dead. Meaning, why are you weeping? In other words, you know, I've passed on, alhamdulillah, Allah has forgiven me. You shouldn't be weeping. So that's one meaning. The other meaning is no, it actually means he is punished. So whatever the case, it's better to control your emotions in the presence of the dead. Clarifying further on this reality, in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Mishkat, Volume 3, Number 1, in the chapter on mourning, Osama ibn Zayd, radiyallahu anhu, he said, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent for him saying, verily a son of mine is dying, so please come quickly. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed his greetings and said, verily what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken is for him, and what he has given is for him, and to him everything has a fixed term. Be patient, home for the reward. Stop in the report. So this is another incident recorded again in Bukhari and Muslim, so it definitely happened. Who is passing away? The grandson of the Prophet. Which grandson? We don't know. So one of his daughter's sons is passing away. So the daughter goes, come quickly, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the message was conveyed to him, he wasn't going to go. Quite interesting, he wasn't going to go. He just sent a message back saying, Allah Ta'ala, it belongs to him, and he's taking it back. Everything has a term. Be patient, hope for a reward. However, she then sent for him, putting him on oath to come to her without fail. In other words, she sent another message, you must come, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus the Prophet arose, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were with him, Sa'd ibn Ubadah, Mu'ad ibn Jabal, Zayd ibn Thabit, and some other men, radiyallahu ta'ala. On arrival, the boy was raised up before Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst he was taking his last few breaths. Upon seeing the condition of his beloved grandson, his two eyes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, became full of tears. Sa'd ibn Ubadah noticed this and he said, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, responded, this is compassion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed in the hearts of his servants. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly have compassion on the one who has compassion amongst his servants. So this is the full report. So let us again look briefly at this. So who now is going with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? All of the Khazraj again noticed. Look how close the Khazraj were to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'd ibn Ubad, Mu'ad ibn Jabal, Zayd ibn Thabit, and other men, meaning other Ansar. Previous report, all Muhajirun, look how interesting. This report, the Ansar. So you notice the Prophet would share his time with the companions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when they went, the grandson was lifted up and he was on the verge of death. So obviously, our beloved messenger, his eyes filled with tears. So look how interesting. Sa'd ibn Ubadah looks at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? He's learning. Because we know the rulings. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, compassion. Allah Ta'ala places in the hearts of his servants. Allah the Almighty will certainly have compassion on the one who has compassion amongst his servants. Meaning it's a good thing. It's not mourning, it's not wailing. This is something that Allah Ta'ala likes. Because if you show compassion, Allah Ta'ala will show compassion to you. So look how interesting. Previous report, Sa'ad was unconscious. The same thing was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This report, he's with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, visiting the grandson of the Prophet who's passing away sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now this last bit, compassion to others. Clarifying upon this divine sunnah, Jabir radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he who does not show mercy, then no mercy will be shown to him. And he who does not forgive, then will not be forgiven. Subhanallah. This is recorded in Ahmad Tabarani and others. And Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Sahih al-Jami number 6600. So let's look at this. So this is how Allah the Almighty deals with his servants. If somebody goes, would you like Allah Ta'ala to show mercy to you? We say, son of a question is that. Of course I want him to show mercy to me. He's not going to show mercy to you. The guy's going to start choking. What do you mean he's not going to show mercy? Because you don't show mercy to others. That's the condition. He who does not show mercy, no mercy will be shown to him. So when you show mercy to others, who are you actually showing mercy to? Yourself. We don't think like non-Muslims. Unfortunately, nobody's learning their deen. And you ask that person, would you like Allah Ta'ala to forgive you? Because of course I want. Because he's not going to forgive you. Because guy starts choking again. He goes, why? Because you don't forgive others. He who does not forgive will not be forgiven. So that's how Allah Ta'ala deals with his servants. So this is why character plays a very, very important part in the believer's life. People don't realize the value of character. Now think about this. You might have a person, let me put it bluntly, he's solid in all his pillars. He doesn't show mercy, he doesn't forgive. So let me ask you a question. Are the pillars going to benefit him? Ultimately, yeah, he'll eventually. But is he in trouble? Even though he's offering all his pillars, he's in trouble. Because if he never showed mercy, never forgave, Allah Ta'ala's not going to show mercy to him. The only one who can forgive sins is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't go anywhere else. And that one avenue, he's not going to show mercy. Who told you that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet, look how strange. When a person does show mercy, ignorant people think this is weakness. Have you noticed that? They go, oh, you've shown weakness. You should never have forgiven him. There you go, human shaitan. But instead of getting the whisper from the hidden shaitan, human shaitan's there. Right? And when you don't show mercy, they go, you've shown him, you've taught him a lesson. No, I haven't. I've taught myself a lesson. So note here, the Prophet is teaching you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is so important for us to understand. And this is why in Surah Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, forgive and overlook. Do you not love that Allah ta'ala forgives you? Forgive and overlook. Now look what he says. Do you not love? Allah ta'ala loves to forgive those who forgive. He loves to do that. Look at Rasulullah. How many people did he forgive? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You lost count. Makkah, Medina, all the way through. Forgive, forgive, overlook, forgive, forgive, overlook. Why? Because he was rahmatullil alameen. He had the greatest share of the divine mercy. He who does not show mercy to those on the earth, and the one in the heavens will not show mercy to him. Famous hadith in Tabarani. Sahih hadith. And who is the first person you show mercy to? Yourself, your fruitcake. Right? No, next door neighbor. Right? Yourself. How do you show mercy to yourself? I start showing mercy to others. So I get the divine mercy. In a similar report, again, highlighting this. In Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Mishkat, in the chapter on weeping over the dead, Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, we once went with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Abu Saif radiallahu anhu, the blacksmith who was the husband of the wet nurse of Ibrahim, the beloved son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's put this into, so you know what's happening. So Rasulullah is visiting the foster father of his son. He had a son called Ibrahim radiallahu anhu from Maria radiallahu anhu. And he gave his son to this woman, and the husband of that woman was a blacksmith called Abu Saif. So Rasulullah is going to visit that blacksmith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there upon arrival, took Ibrahim, kissed and smelt him. So this is sunnah. So you kiss the child in sunnah, to smell the child is sunnah. Uthman radiallahu anhu would smell children, and then they asked him why. He said, I want more reward. I think about that. Children smell of paradise. Why? Because they're ma'asum. You notice that. You smell them, you go, beautiful smell. Then the report says, subhanallah, we also went to him later when Ibrahim was on the verge of death. So look how touching. Anas narrates, we went to him when his son was healthy. But then he goes, we also went with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when his son was dying. Upon seeing him in that condition, tears began falling from the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf thereupon said, you too are weeping, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He responded sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ibn Auf, innaha rahma. O ibn Auf, verily this is compassion. Then he shed more tears and said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَدْمَعُ وَالْقَلْبَ يَحْزُنُ. Verily the eyes weep and the heart grieves. وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يَرْضَ رَبُّنَا. But we say nothing except what our Lord is pleased with. وَإِنَّ بِفِرَاقِقَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَمَحْزُونُونَ. Indeed we are grieved over being separated from you, O Ibrahim. So let's look at this. So what do you notice about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Look how Allah ta'ala was testing him. His grandsons are dying. His sons are dying. How many, you know, go through this? This should be the other way around. Grandfather dies. Father dies. It's been reversed for Rasulullah. Sons are dying. Grandsons are dying. Why? Because to comfort us when we go through loss. Allah ta'ala made him go through every conceivable test. So, now look who's asking. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. He's like, you also weeping? Because they thought there was, you know, this is, you shouldn't weep, this is weakness, you know, maybe. The Prophet goes, this is rahmah. Notice, he was hammering this into them. There's nothing wrong with this. Then look what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ الْعِينَ تَدْمَعُ وَالْقَلْبَ يَحْزُنُ. Verily the eyes weep and the heart grieves. Meaning, the things that you're not accountable for. The eyes weep, the heart grieves. What to the previous report? Nothing wrong with that. وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يَرْضَى رَبُّنَا. But we do not say anything except what our Lord is pleased with. Meaning, we're accountable for that. Go to the previous report. So I can't say anything except what Allah Ta'ala is pleased with. And what did he say? Something very touching. وَإِنَّا بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَمَحْزُونُونَ. Indeed, we are grieved over being separated from you, O Ibrahim. Meaning, death has come. And we are grieving over your separation. Meaning, that's a, there's nothing wrong with making that statement. The Prophet made that statement. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Thus only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what must have been going through the pure and unparalleled heart of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who witnessed the innumerous deaths of his venerable mother, grandfather, uncles, cousins, all his noble sons, all his daughters except Fatima, grandchildren and countless companions. Radiallahu ta'ala. Think about that. What we've been through. How many deaths for the COVID, the year of COVID. How many deaths? You know, uncle died, mashallah, who else? You know, maybe one family member here and there. Somebody goes to you, I know somebody. All his family got wiped out. Right? Think about that. All his sons, all his daughters except one. Do I need to go any further than that? All his sons, all his daughters except one. Who's that, brother? There you go, you fruit cake. You don't know your messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Cousins, lost count. Think about that. Mother, he lost his mother when he was six. Didn't see his father. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uncles dying with Iman, dying without Iman. Another test. Sahaba left, right and sent. Radiallahu ta'ala. So note, that is for you. The Prophet was giving, telling you this. I'm going to mention in a bit. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we can appreciate the following report. In Ibn Asakir, Ibn Abi Khaytama, Deluri, Qanzul Umal, Volume 8, page 122, Hayat al-Sahaba, Volume 4, page 166 of the New English Translation. Sayyidina Abu Uyayna radiallahu anhu relates, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would console a person upon the loss of one of his beloved, he would say to them, there is no calamity when there is patience, and there is no benefit when there is impatience. What comes before death is easy. What comes after is difficult. If you think of the loss of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your tragedy in comparison will seem light. And in addition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inflate your reward. Subhanallah. What do we say? You know, Allah ni marzi. Then start eating papadoms, right? What sort of, you know, consoling is that? He was just walking with a tape recorder. Allah ni marzi. Allah ni marzi. Parrot says that, brother. Right? Consoling means that you say words from the heart, not from your tongue. Abu Bakr Siddiq, was he parroting? Look at these words he's giving. What's the first thing he said? Radiallah. There is no calamity when there's patience. Meaning, no matter what you are hit with, if you are patient, there's no real calamity. You're the winner. That should have been enough. He carried on. And there's no benefit when there's no patience. Because if you don't show patience, you, what a loss. You've lost somebody and you've lost your reward. Complete loser. Then he said, what comes before death is easy. Meaning, this is easy. Because you haven't died. If you break here, you're going to have problems in the next. What comes after is difficult. Meaning, think about that. This is breaking you. And what's going to happen after you die? What's going to happen to your state then? Then he gave a very interesting nugget. If you think of the loss of Rasulullah, that Allah alayhi wa sallam, your tragedy will become light. Meaning, you've lost your father, your mother, your son, your daughter, whoever. Close friend, instantly think of the Prophet's passing. If you still feel more grief, where's your iman? You should feel, you should comfort you. Rasulullah passed away. This is nothing. And then finally he said, not only that, Allah Ta'ala will inflate your reward. He loves Rasulullah. So when you think of the Prophet, when you're going through loss yourself, Allah Ta'ala gives you more reward. Because you're thinking about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That should be the blueprint of consolation. But how many people say that? Allah Marzi, Allah Marzi. Clarifying further, directly from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Ibn Majah, number 1599, Shaykh Al-Bani Rahmatullah Alayhi states Sahih, in Sahih Al-Jami, number 7829. Our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha relates that our beloved messenger said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O people, whoever amongst the people or believers is struck with a calamity, then let them console themselves with the loss of me, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, during the calamity one faces with anyone else. For no one from my ummah will face a calamity worse than the calamity of my death. Subhanallah. This is a command now. That divine command. How many acting upon this? Forget about acting upon it. Do you know there's a command with it? And the guy goes, what? Right? Yeah, the Prophet gave you a command. Are you aware of it? What's the command? You are supposed to be thinking of Rasulullah's passing away. Note, he didn't say death. He said when a believer is struck with a calamity. Death is, you know, musibah, the Quran says. That's interesting. Allah Ta'ala only calls death musibah. He doesn't call anything else musibah. So if you have a flat tire, for is this a musibah? Allah Ta'ala doesn't call that a musibah. He only calls one musibatul maut, meaning that is a musibah. But it could be any calamity. You know, you go home, your roof's collapsed. The command is think of Rasulullah's passing away. Which one of us does that? Your car engine blows up. Think of Rasulullah passing away. Think about that. You know, it's the last thing, because nobody's telling us anything. Astaghfirullah. The Prophet ﷺ said, when you do this, this will console you. Because there is no greater calamity than my death. Sahih hadith. So note, when somebody goes to you, is he the mercy to everything that exists? Yes. He goes, can you show me an example of that? Yes. Even upon his passing away, we get comfort. Look how baffling that is to people. Eh? Are you happy your Prophet died? We're not happy. But it consoles us. Straight away you got their attention. How does it console you if your Prophet dies? Because whatever we go through a calamity, we just remember his passing. And then this becomes easy. So note, these are teachings. So now when people are dying, you know, astaghfirullah, it's like deen's finished. Allah ni marzi, brother. And it won't be too bad if they meant it. You know, if they actually meant what they say, it's the will of Allah. It's like inna lillahi na. It's just like a joke. Inna lillahi wa inna they don't even finish the verse off. You go, inna lillahi. Inna lillahi what? Right? Inna lillahi. Right? Qalu. The book Qalu in as well. Qalu. Qalu. Who's saying it? Me or you? Right? Qalu means you say it. Next time somebody says to you, Qalu, you start saying it. Qalu. Inna lillahi. What am I supposed to say? You said Qalu. What are you saying Qalu for? Right? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Then you say, what does that mean, brother? I'm not a scholar, brother. But you're saying it. So what if it was somebody silly and you're saying it? Verily, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we belong and to Him we shall return. So whatever has been lost, did it belong to you? Nothing belongs to you, your fruitcake. You lose your eyesight. What are you crying for? It's not yours in the first place. Who did the eyesight belong to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do you say? Inna lillahi. It belongs to Him. What am I getting upset for? Then it says, then you say, we return to Him. It's gone back to Him. Everything goes back to Him, you noticed. Everything that you're killing each other for, land, property, it all goes back to Him eventually. Don't worry about it. Nobody, you know, nobody owns anything. It's a big joke. People killing each other for something that doesn't belong to them. Lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth. But you just rattle that as well. It rattles, isn't it? Rattles, right? Lillahi ma fis samawati. No, I'm not. What does that mean? Lillahi ma fis samawati. What is that? What are you saying? To Allah belongs all. Not 70%. All, yes. So, the clothes on your back, who owns them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hair on your head, who owns them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a calamity takes place, is it really a calamity? You didn't own it in the first place. It's gone back to the owner. But look at the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He allows you to weep. That's why the sahaba, are you weeping? That's what they were thinking. It come back to you. The Prophet said, no, this is compassion. Alhamdulillah. Grief in the heart. It's okay. Allah Ta'ala knows you better than yourselves. But you can control your tongue and your hands. Look at that beautiful report to finish. When Sulaim lost her son, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, Abu Talha, the father of the child, he was out with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she wrapped the son up and she gave the impression he was asleep. So when Abu Talha came back to the dwelling, he looked at his son and he got the impression that the child's sleeping. He asked, how's my son? She goes, oh, he's at rest. Didn't mention nothing to him. The same night, they had relations, husband and wife. The next morning, she says to her husband, we've got some strange neighbors. So he goes, why? What's happened? He goes, well, I gave something to my neighbor. And then when I went to take it back, he got upset. So Abu Talha goes, that is strange. He goes, why is he getting upset when you gave it to him and you took it back? Then she said, Allah Ta'ala gave you your son, he's taken it back. So Abu Talha goes into shock. He goes, you didn't tell me. He goes, after what happened? And he's so upset. He goes, my wife didn't tell me and I've slept with her. Then he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet smiled. What did he say? He goes, did you sleep with your wife last night? He goes, yes. May Allah Ta'ala bless your union. And then what happened? They were blessed with sons. So what was Sulaim teaching Abu Talha? Nothing to get upset over. Right? Nah, be honest. Son dies. You walk in, it's a war scene. You know, crime scene. What's happened? One woman's pulling her hair off, right? Another one's hijabs all over the place. You know, brothers jumping up and down. What's happened, right? And then you go, somebody died. What's all this pandemonium then? Think about that, right? It's the norm now. You know, you expect it. In fact, if you follow the sunnah, you walk in and wife does this to you, you'll go into shock. Right? She's following Sharia. And they had that understanding. And how beautiful and priceless is that zikr? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever you say, when you remember a calamity, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, you get the same reward the day that you lost that blessing. So think about that. So if you lost your sight, you say, inna lillahi, you get the reward of losing your sight. Tomorrow you say it again, you get the same reward as losing your sight. So what does that tell you about that dhikr? It's priceless. You keep saying it. The Prophet ﷺ said, even say it when your sandal strap breaks. It's not just for big things. You know, people say, look, oh, I spilled the salt. And you get a person saying, inna lillahi wa inna lillahi. Nobody's died. What are you saying? There you go. He doesn't understand. It's not just for big things. It's for small things. Subhanallah. So note, going through the lives of the noble companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, how many lessons are you learning? And note Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he's always there, whether he's ill or whether he's with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in conclusion, Allahu Akbar, thus even from his tragic passing, we also receive another most priceless blessing. The peace and blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him, always and forever. Amen. So all I mentioned today was basically mentioning reports in which it mentions that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah when he was very ill. And of course, relevant reports to help clarify upon the matter of how to grieve when a calamity takes place. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات تواصوا بالحق تواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم